Hello, I'm Dr. Albert Rizzo, Chief Medical Officer of the American Lung Association. Welcome to LungCast. In the middle of the 20th century, Dr. Ernst Winder and colleagues began to produce convincing data that cigarette smoking caused lung cancer. In the following years, evidence was developed linking cigarette smoking to many different cancers, chronic lung disease, and heart attacks. This evidence became so overwhelming that in 1964, the Surgeon General reported that cigarette smoking was the most important risk factor for development of lung cancer and that quitting smoking reduced that risk. Since that time, a concerted effort to reduce tobacco smoking has been one of the most important public health agenda items for the medical profession. We have seen a significant reduction in death rates associated with smoking-related diseases. Surveys repeatedly report that the vast majority of smokers consider themselves to be addicted to the habit and subsequently to the drug nicotine and would like to quit. The huge number of patients who have successfully quit have reduced their risk of heart attacks, strokes, cancers, and lung disease significantly. A number of years ago, a group of researchers out of Yale University modeled the number of premature deaths prevented by tobacco cessation since 1964, and they estimated that 8 million lives were saved. These were people who didn't get cancer, didn't need oxygen tanks, and didn't have to go radiation treatment or chemotherapy, or have bypass operations, or struggle to walk up hills due to the shortness of breath or chest pain. As we approach a new year, resolutions start being considered. What will be your New Year's resolution? It's that time to reflect on everything we've done these last 12 months and set our ambitions for 2023. Will you start exercising, pursue a new hobby, travel more? For many of us, our first aspirations when the clock strikes midnight and a new year begins are very ambitious, maybe even life-changing. It's not surprising that many smokers decide New Year's is the time to begin their journey to quitting. Sadly, it's even less surprising that the resolution is likely to be unmet. About 9 in every 10 smokers fail attempts at cessation. The path to a smoke-free life is riddled with unexpected hurdles and stressors, but those who resolve to make it should be encouraged by the fact that it is possible, and there are aids to help them along the way. In our final interview of 2022, we discussed the details of quitting smoking with a leading expert on the subject, as well as a gentleman who reached the goal himself. The American Lung Association's own Jennifer Falkenroth, National Senior Director of Tobacco Programs, and Bob Levy, former award-winning columnist for the Washington Post, join us to review the intricacies of smoking cessation as we head into the new year. We hope you enjoy the talk. Well, thank you both for joining me today to discuss a topic that has been integral to part of the American Lung Association's mission for many years, smoking cessation. Much progress has been made in reducing the number of smokers in the United States over the past several decades. Despite tobacco use being the number one cause of lung disease and death, there are still millions of cigarette smokers. There's a concern that a newer generation of nicotine-addicted individuals has begun with the introduction of e-cigarettes and vaping. Today, we're going to focus on efforts at smoking cessation. The American Lung Association believes that anyone can stop smoking, especially when given the right information, motivation, and support. To start off with today, I'd like to have Bob Levy describe his experience as a former smoker, his journey to quitting, and then use the use of his platform in the media to help others. After that, we'll have the opportunity to have the American Lung Association's National Senior Director of Tobacco Programs, Jen Falkenroth, weigh in on the science-based approach to smoking cessation that the ALA utilizes. And her discussion will also talk about the process of smoking cessation and the aspects of behavior change that are needed when dealing with nicotine addiction. So first, let's talk to Bob and have us listen to his experience starting his Superstoppers.
Pleasure to sing my song yet again, which I hope will resonate with smokers and non-smokers alike out there. I was deeply addicted to cigarettes, and I was the kind of smoker who would go to the movies and watch a movie for an hour and 40 minutes, and before I was halfway out the front door to go to my car, I would have a cigarette in my mouth. And I would be on an airplane, and as soon as the non-smoking light went off, I would have a cigarette in my mouth. And I never imagined during my now 55-year career in the newspaper business that I would ever be able to write a column or a story or do anything serious at all without a cigarette right there in the lower right-hand corner of my mouth. I never seriously thought about quitting. I was in my 20s at this point, and as you know, doctor, everybody in his or her 20s is going to live forever, and it never even occurred to me that this didn't integrate perfectly, not only into my life, but into my health. I had no wheezing, no coughing, no symptoms, no reason to stop. And then, as happens so often in truth and in fiction, I met a woman who changed my life. And she said, you know, we're really getting serious with one another, and I like that. But she said to me with her dark brown eyes, I will not have children with a man who smokes. And doctor, we can talk, and I hope we will talk in this podcast about human beings and motivation, which is, if I have any expertise, my area of expertise. But I will tell you this, that when that woman said that to me, I made a 180 U-turn about as fast as a person can. I'm not going to say it was easy. I'm not going to say it was immediate. I'm not going to say it was perfect. But within 2 months, I had stopped smoking. I had been a smoker at that point for 15 years, and I've never smoked again. This is more than 40 years ago. Well, from there, I decided that, and I think this is true, that there's nobody quite as religious as a former nuns, as a former smoker. I quickly became that guy, doctor, who would see people smoking in elevators in office buildings, and I would say, you know, you're not supposed to smoke in here. And once smoking was outlawed in offices and public buildings, and it was winter, and I would go outside, and there would be four or five smokers congregating outside in 20-degree weather smoking, and I would kind of look at them with pity and disdain, and so I became that guy. But I also became the guy who decided that in my role as a columnist for the Washington Post, a role that I did for nearly 25 years in a column that I was lucky enough to have a million readers a day reading, that the point of doing a newspaper column is not just to send rockets up into the sky and see how pretty they are. The point should be to make social change. And I was really, really interested in doing that. And I'm happy to say that I've done it in many areas. But as you mentioned, Super Stoppers Club was an idea that I came up with to publish the names of people who had quit smoking cigarettes, to put them out there in print in one of the nation's leading newspapers, and to do two things there. One, to congratulate them, and two, to intimidate them. Because once their names were out there in front of all of those people, would they backslide? Would they dare to do that? Would they dare to sneak out of the house to have one little puff out by the garage when no one was looking? Well, I have no idea whether I ever batted 1,000. I can't believe that I did. But I will tell you this, doctor, that, you know, they say there are no rewards in journalism, and there certainly are no rewards in the paycheck that arrives every Friday. But one of my rewards came very near the end of my time writing that column, when I was doing a public appearance at a trade show, and a guy walked up to me. I'd never seen him before, and he said to me, "You say what?" He said, "Yeah, you published my name in Super Stoppers Club 15 years ago, and if you hadn't done that, and if you hadn't publicized it, and scared me into being straight, and scared me into staying off cigarettes, I would be dead today." And I'm not much of an actor, doctor, but I've got to say that once we shook hands and I congratulated him and I turned my head away, a funny thing, a little tear formed in the corner of my eye. Isn't that the kind of thing we're talking about here today? Isn't that what can be duplicated over and over again? So finally, through the opportunity given to me by the American Lung Association, I have now recapitulated the Super Stoppers Club on various social media at American Lung Association. And here we go. The names of quitters, stories of how they quit, stories of how they almost didn't stay on the straight and narrow, but did. And it's human beings in the course of being human. And that really appeals to me. That's what I love. That's what I write about. But isn't it absolutely wonderful that we can have results through the written word? That really appeals to me, too. So that is pretty much my story, and I am never going to go back to smoking cigarettes. I am proud to say that that woman with the brown eyes and I have produced two children, neither of whom has ever smoked a cigarette, and they're both parents themselves now. And maybe there's some good in this world from this gray-haired old guy, and if so, Super Stoppers Club may have contributed to it.
That's great, Bob. And yeah, that's a great story of behavioral change and a great perspective. And what I wanted to do next is then have Jen talk about why your platform, the Super Stoppers, has been able to help many of your readers over the years. And I know there's science behind it, and I'm going to have Jen Folkenroth come in and start talking about that. Jen?
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Rizzo. And thank you, Bob, for sharing your story with us. Although I'm a blue-eyed girl, I love hearing about the power that the ladies in your life can truly make.
That woman had power and she still has it.
Oh, I love it. So, you know, Super Stoppers Club utilizes two very powerful influencers. So we've got the award-winning journalist Bob here with us in the flesh, as well as motivational and inspiring stories from real-life people who have successfully achieved freedom from their lifelong dependency, something that over 70% of current tobacco users yearn to achieve every single year. This dynamic duo is staged in a digital campaign format, which speaks to the way people are seeking information on population health today. Unlike the negative emotions that many tobacco users experience in discussing the impact tobacco use is having on their lives physically through their health, socially in their inner circles, you know, emotionally, internally, as well as financially. We know it's not cheap. This campaign does the opposite by celebrating people who have quit smoking for good through that positive messaging. And in return, it works to inspire those who are trying to quit smoking and provides proven effective resources for people looking to quit for good to go ahead and kick off that quit journey.
Well, Jen, let me just add one thought to that. One of the reasons I think that Super Stoppers Club succeeds is that it appeals to the better angels in people and it offers hope. And if you read about these stories and you are a smoker and identify with the situation of one of the quitters, and if that by itself can motivate you when nothing else has in a 50-year career smoking, well, then we've all done a good thing.
So, Jen, can you talk a bit more about why there is a struggle to quit in these smokers? Why does that exist?
Yeah. Well, you know, just like Bob, I can also self-identify as an ex-smoker myself. And I can tell you that if there's one thing that we can all agree upon, there's never a good time to quit, right? However, there are bad times to quit. So an individual really has to be at the right stage of change, making sure that this truly is something that they want to do for themselves, that they have their own interpersonal reasons for wanting to break free from this dependency, that there isn't another person in their life who's forcing them to do so. Rather, we have our kind of own motives in place. That is so very important. It's also really important that individuals identify and put into place the right tobacco treatment plan. So we know that, you know, a lot of smokers will attempt the good old cold turkey quit right off the bat. We don't want to tell anyone that we're quitting. That way, if we happen to relapse or, we're not successful, we're not breaking anyone's heart. No feelings are crushed here. Unfortunately, research proves that only 5 to 7% of individuals who use that quit method, cold turkey, no counseling, no medication, are actually successful in breaking their lifelong dependency. We know that up to 60% can be successful long term over a year of FDA-approved cessation medication plus behavioral counseling to really put the plan in place for us to be successful in quitting smoking. So, really identifying and putting into place the right plan is essential. And I would also say self-sabotage. So a lot of times, guilt is something that tobacco users sense quite often in terms of their tobacco use. And self-sabotage through feelings of defeat or low confidence in one's ability to successfully quit can also kind of be in our way to success. We understand that tobacco use is a chronic relapsing condition that requires evidence-based and proven effective strategies to evoke that lasting change. And quitting tobacco use is a process. It's not an event. On average, it can take 9 to 11 quit attempts before a tobacco user is successful in quitting for good. So sticking with it, not self-sabotaging, making sure that you're not allowing yourself to feel defeated. Rather, taking those previous quit attempts, learning from them what worked, what didn't work, and put a new plan in place to strengthen this next quit attempt moving forward.
I'm assuming, well, I'll ask Bob, did you have multiple attempts before you had that epiphany?
No, I never saw a reason to quit. I thought it was just woven into my life and into my very being, because it was anatomically. But I just decided that for the reasons that I said that it was time to do it.
So research really proves that the positive spin in talking about the benefits to a life free from tobacco is much more powerful than talking about the health effects and the negative impacts of tobacco use. So in fact, painting that picture of a tobacco-free lifestyle is much more motivating and persuasive than showing the tar-filled lungs, and talking about the health impacts.
Jen, I know you're going to probably talk about this a little bit more, but when you talk about the right treatment plan, many times I have helped my smokers by trying to have they have a nice social support group around them. I think in Bob's case, it was certainly the woman he mentioned, but I think people have to have reliable individuals around them they can lean on. And certainly if they're living with other smokers, that's not going to be very helpful. So can you comment on the importance of a support team?
Oh, support systems are one of the most important pieces, in my opinion. The medication and the counseling puts us on the right path. The support is what keeps us on track, right? And pulls us through those really tough times, those tough urges. Individuals can recruit supporters from a variety of different areas in their life, whether it be their neighbors, their friends, their family. I've had some individuals who even told the lady at the convenience store at the gas station where they buy their smokes every morning that they're quitting because they know if they don't tell her when they go back in tomorrow, stop in, there's going to be that pack waiting for them. The only question will be one pack or two, right? So your supporters can be from a variety of different places. Some individuals recruit faith-based supporters, so their church. Others seek online discussion groups or join, Facebook, following articles just like Bob's, really working to connect with others who have either already gone through it or are currently going through the process. I will say, even the power of your own children. So, there are some parents out there that will get stickers to put on their calendar, and every night before going to bed, recruiting their kids to put a sticker on the calendar because mom or dad was able to make it the whole day through without smoking. If in fact they're a driving force in your quit attempt, and you can show them the true power of overcoming the dependency, as well as teach them a lesson on how tough it truly can be to break and why it's good never to initiate tobacco use. They can be amazing supporters as well.
When you talk about individuals benefiting from both counseling as well as medication, certainly their physician should play a role with regard to the medications. But what do you tell people who maybe come to you with the concerns that they just don't want to take some of these medications because of bad things they've heard about them? What, how do you approach that subject and give them some background?
I always want to make sure that they are involving their primary care provider in these conversations. It is crucial. And another important piece is there are seven FDA-approved cessation medications to choose from, and you can choose one or even a combination of these seven. So if you take that into consideration, there's a lot of different combinations and a lot of options out there. So a lot of times I'll talk through with the patients what they didn't like about those medications, or even what have they heard about those medications that may be preventing them from considering use of that pharmacotherapy. So and really dispelling some of the myths. There are many myths out there when it comes to, the variety of different medications. And so just making sure that they have all of the information up front to make an educated choice and decision on which of those medications they want to incorporate into their treatment plan, I think really helps to ease those concerns, as well as address them head on, providing them with the information and ensuring that they aren't not considering one option just because of some fear that potentially was instilled from word of mouth or hearing it through the grapevine per se. So, lots of education and power of choice for sure.
The other thing I'd like to ask you to touch on is the word stigma. I mean, both patients with lung disease, such as COPD, lung cancer, they often have a self-inflicted feeling that they brought the disease on by themselves. Individuals around them feel that they brought it on because of the smoking. And I must admit, unfortunately, there's even nihilism among the primary care physicians and specialists at times about the smoker. But I think stigma plays a role in some of these individuals' self-worth, and I think that needs to be addressed when you're trying to help them get more positive about getting off cigarettes. Any comments on that?
Yeah, so, doing tobacco cessation counseling in one-on-one and group settings over the past almost 20 years now, I can say if there's one thing that I always reflect back to these individuals that seems to hit home, many times smokers feel that they are seen as bad people with a bad habit, when in fact they're the complete opposite. They are great people with an incredibly difficult addiction, a lifelong dependency that takes serious treatment and sometimes repeat treatment in order to, deal with this condition. Once we kind of understand that, yes, when we were kids, over 90% of individuals started smoking before the age of 18. So if we're talking about the actual initiation of tobacco use at that time, yeah, there was a choice. There was a choice on whether to initiate or not. But those aren't the folks that we're dealing with. These are not the folks who are enrolling in counseling programs and using FDA-approved medication to break free. At this point, tobacco use has become a chronic relapsing condition, a serious condition that needs to be treated. They no longer have the power of choice or the power of control. This is a physical, a psychological, and a behavioral addiction from all three angles. And in order to beat it, you need a plan in place for all three of those challenges.
But Jen, if I can jump in here for a second, we at least in the year 2022 have seen an enormous change in the way smoking is portrayed or not portrayed on television and in the movies. When I was a kid, I know that's difficult to imagine that, but I was a kid at one time. I remember Marlon Brando with a cigarette in the corner of his mouth. I remember James Dean with a cigarette in the. I remember Marilyn Monroe with a cigarette in the corner of her mouth. And that broadcast the message that smoking was cool. And if you wanted to be cool, you would smoke. And now I can't recall the last time I have seen anybody with a cigarette in the movies or on television. And I really think that has to have a powerful effect on people who are now 50 years downstream from Marlon Brando and James Dean, and people who really want to quit and who aren't cool anymore. Let's be honest about that. What do you see about this and the effect of, on motivation of this huge change in movies and television?
Yeah, without a doubt, that was monumental in removing tobacco use and smoking from the big screen. It was incredibly influential to see those actors and actresses that we really admire smoking and looking so cool while they do it. Today, the same sort of big tobacco manipulative, targeting is still occurring, but not so much with cigarettes anymore, but with a different tobacco product, with e-cigarettes. And we're using a different platform too. So the tobacco industry is now using influencers through social media and different tactics to really hook our younger generations on this new wave of tobacco products. So in fact, it's there. It's just kind of wearing a costume these days.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on the e-cigarettes because certainly that's what young kids think is cool these days. And that's what's prompted one of the more recent Lung Association campaigns of anti-vaping, which is the vape talk, using individuals from TikTok to help talk to children about the problems with vaping and e-cigarettes. Jen, can you give us some specific resources that the American Lung Association has available to individuals besides Bob's Super Stoppers Club, which I guess is still up and running now with the ALA?
Yes. And please be checking in on the Super Stoppers Club. I love seeing the inspiration and stories from real life community members who have overcome their addiction and are living free, free lives, tobacco free, and really setting the stage for tobacco free future generations. The American Lung Association is unique in that we are the only organization who offers six different modalities of cessation programming nationwide, to really help meet the needs of individuals and their schedules. So, freedom from smoking is our 40-plus year evidence-based proven effective cessation program for adults. It's available in group. Either in person or virtually delivered. It can also be done telephonically through our tobacco treatment specialists at the Lung Helpline. We've got our Freedom from Smoking Plus, which is an online tool. You can go right through the nine different modules at your own pace, right through your smartphone or your laptop or digital device. We've got the self-help guide, and then we've also have our Inspire Now discussion community for that added support, really, walking along the quit path with others, also on their journey. So the American Lung Association has the cessation programs in place. We also have information to really help navigate tobacco cessation coverage, to help educate patients on how to have their prescriptions paid for through their health benefits. Many individuals don't realize that, another key part in talking with your doctor about quitting smoking is that they can write you a prescription that you can take to the pharmacy, even for those products that are over the counter. Instead of getting that out of pocket, you can check into your tobacco cessation benefit through your health plan, take that script to the pharmacy, and many times have that paid for through your insurance, again, saving you even more money. So between, the counseling program, helping you to obtain your medications, also answering any questions that you have through our Lung Helpline counselors, American Lung Association really has a surround sound of support to help individuals beginning to end.
Can you tell us the best website line and also the number of the helpline, Jen?
Absolutely. So your best spot to go is lung.org/FFS, which is shortened for Freedom from Smoking. We've got a variety of different information, even if you just start at lung.org. You can also call our Lung Helpline counselors at any time, with your questions or even to start talking about a tobacco treatment plan. What would this look like for me? That number is 1-800-LUNG-USA.
And as far as Bob's Super Stoppers, is there a good tagline for that that people can search on our lung.org website? Or they just put in
Absolutely.
Super
Yes. If
Stoppers?
you just search at the very top Super Stoppers Club, you'll be able to find it. There's a direct link. You can also see all of the past blogs that have been posted, and continue to look for what's coming up next.
Well, you've both given us good perspectives and experiences dealing with smokers who are trying to quit, and ultimately those who are successful. Are there any things that we didn't touch on? Any closing comments from either one of you?
Just this, doctor. The one liner that I always remember is, and I wrote this once, I started smoking because it was cool, and I stopped smoking because it was cool. And if that can inspire anybody, I offer it up to you.
Jen, any other thoughts?
You know, I would just remind everyone that we know you can quit. 50 million ex-smokers across the United States are proof that it is, in fact, possible. So please call on us. Help us, you know, to help you make that connection, have the tobacco treatment plan in place, get the supporters, read Bob's posts, really be inspired and know that you can do this too.
Great advice. Great advice. Well, thank you both. We look forward to people learning from this discussion. Thanks again to Jennifer and Bob for the lively and informative discussion around quitting smoking. We hope it inspires some smokers and their physicians alike to approach the resolution with purpose and patience. As we conclude 2022, we encourage you to check out our past monthly episodes on indoor air quality, obstructive sleep apnea, sarcoidosis, and 9 other conversations that highlighted all that's headlining respiratory care and research today. And please stay tuned for our annual recap episode later this month. For additional news and insights into respiratory health, be sure to visit us at hcplive.com and lung.org. Until next time, I'm Dr. Albert Rizzo, reminding you that if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. So just take it one breath at a time.